This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, absolutely delighted and happy to be with you today on this wonderful day in the Lord. It is the day that He has made. What do? We are going to rejoice and be glad in it. I am always eager in the morning to see how it is that the Lord is going to show up in my life through the course of the day. And one of the ways in which He always does that is when I am with you right here on Catholic Radio, brought to you by EWTN. We certainly do invite you to spend some time with us Monday through Friday, and while you're spending time with us, to give us a call here. We've got a toll-free number for you in North America. It's 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. We invite you to use that number every day. We'd love to hear from you every day. And we are always eager to know what God is doing in your life, too. So please do give us a call and share with us today. Another way that you can join us is via EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply use the chat feature there. Put in your question or comment. Do know that we're going to get it retrieved by the wonderful and marvelous Pedro Quiles. He does a great job of getting your questions and comments up on the board here so that I can address them. We have Tom Price, who's answering the phones today. Yes, he is. So be sure to say hello to him. He really likes it when you do. Nice guy, Tom Price. Oh, my goodness, you would really enjoy him. So we invite you. Oh, actually, I am telling you a big old fib. I don't think that it's Tom Price today. I'm thinking, is it Jack? Okay. So Vanessa Sanchez, producer extraordinaire, is telling me that indeed it is my husband, Jack Williams. Well, it's always nice to talk to Tom Price, but I just want to tell you I have a preference. And the preference is for Jack Williams, who's doing the call screening. So we invite you to call in and share a little bit with him. He will get all of your information and get you all set up so that we can receive your call on the air. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is that toll-free number in North America. Now listen, if you're outside of North America, I don't want you to despair. We've got a number for you too. And that number is country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. Yes, indeed. You can contact us in all of those ways. And I've got one more way to share with you. I surely do. And that other way is for you to text your message to us. So all you need to do is to text your message to the letters EWTN and then 51. Now I'm getting myself all messed up here. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Then text us your first name and your brief question. Message and data rates may apply. Isn't it funny how, I have discovered this over the years doing radio for all these many years. You kind of get into a certain way of doing things. And then when you interrupt that mode, you kind of get yourself a little confused there. I am sure that that has happened to you too. But we're not going to be confused. We have got the light of truth with us. Yep. We've got the Holy Spirit with us, and we are going to talk about some interesting topics today. And today is one of those days where I just want for you to call in and ask questions about anything that's on your mind, or to share with you what is on your mind. Thursday is the day that we pray the Luminous Mysteries, and I love the Luminous Mysteries. Oftentimes people will say, well, you know, which of the, you know, four mysteries of the Rosary do you like the best? And it's very hard for me to say. It depends upon the day of the week. So today, my favorite mysteries are the Luminous Mysteries. And I like these because these mysteries attend to the everyday circumstances that our Lord experienced, dealt with, and shared with His apostles, and therefore with us. And it takes us into His life. And, I think it's a perfect day to talk about things that are going on in our life when we consider that it is Thursday and we pray those Luminous Mysteries. And we begin with the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ by St. John the Baptist. At that moment, of course, we know that two of the sacraments were initiated, right? What is a sacrament? Well, the Baltimore Catechism tells us it's an outward sign instituted by Christ to give us grace. And so baptism and confirmation were initiated on that particular day. I was thanking and praising the Lord for those two sacraments of initiation this morning when I was praying my rosary. And then, of course, we move right into the marriage feast at Cana. So we go from Jesus' baptism right into the marriage feast where he works his first miracle, and that opens up his public ministry. And then the third mystery in the luminous mysteries is the proclamation of the gospel and the call to repentance. And so here we see our Lord actively engaged in proclaiming the good news, right? And helping individuals to enter into a deep relationship with him, and by way of him, a deep relationship with his Father, all through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we move into two key moments in the life of Christ, in the life of the church, in the life, of course, of the people of the time. And that is his transfiguration, where we see three of his apostles able to basically be regaled by our Lord's glory, the glory, his resurrection glory that will come in the not too distant future from that moment forward. And then we end with the last of those luminous mysteries, and that is of key significance for every single one of us. And what is that? That is the institution of the Eucharist, right? It is the moment where Jesus gives us his body, blood, soul, and divinity underneath the confines of bread and wine. A great mystery indeed. So perhaps, you know, as you look at those mysteries of the Rosary today, you will be able to look at significant moments in your own life that are parallel to those, or in some way in which that particular mystery has influenced you, or that the grace from that mystery has been very present to you in a certain way. We would love to hear about it. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Toll-free number for you right here in North America. Do want to remind you to get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. We've got all kinds of lovely things happening. I am going to be on an airplane tomorrow. Yes, I am. I am going to be flying from Birmingham through Atlanta on my way to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania for our one-day Pentecost event that's happening the following day on Saturday, June the 7th. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful. That is the theme. Of course, you know that this is in anticipation of Sunday, June the 8th, which is the Feast of Pentecost. Always a very significant event in the life of the church, should be a significant event in the life of each and every one of us. And we want to open ourselves up more and more to the movement of grace, who is the Holy Spirit. He is the personification of the love between the Father and the Son. Yes, their love is so great, so dynamic, it spirates the third person. But the interesting thing about this and the, you know, great mystery is that there is no moment in time, because God is outside of time and space, where this happens for the first time. This has always been the dynamic of the Trinitarian life, that the Father's fiat to the Son and the Son's fiat to the Father spirates the Holy Spirit, the personification of his love. So when we talk about the Holy Spirit, that's who we're talking about. We're talking about this spirit of love, the personification of the relationship between the Father and the Son, the dynamic of grace that comes by way of that union. So we want to open ourselves up to it, and I certainly hope that you will do that by joining us there in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, at St. Andrew the Apostle Catholic Church in Charleroi, Pennsylvania. We can still receive you there. We're going to take walk-ins too, but we would prefer to be very prepared for you, because we're going to serve you lunch and we want to feed you. I'll tell you more on the other side of the break. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. We're coming right back. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. Stay with us.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams, and I'm delighted to be with you on this Thursday in the Lord. We're talking about ordinary life, right? We're talking about everyday life. How is it that the Lord shows up in our everyday life? Now, tomorrow, you know, usually on Fridays, it's a Glory to God day. We talk about the significant moments in the course of the week where we have been blessed by the Lord. But today, You know, how is it that you see God in your everyday life? We were talking about that in light of the fact that on Thursdays we pray the luminous mysteries. And the luminous mysteries, the mysteries of light, another way of referring to them, are those mysteries that show us the light of Christ as he sojourned on the earth in his public ministry. And of course, we know that even though that happened at a moment in time, that those events are not locked in time because they exist in the eternal moment. Every action of our Lord exists in the eternal moment. And in a certain way, through our life of faith, right, our initiation into the mystery of God by way of our baptism, we have an opportunity to experience in significant ways those very mysteries of Christ's own life. And, you know, I like to look at these mysteries of light in that regard. You know, how is it that I hear the voice of the Lord in my everyday life? How is it that I experience the divine and holy favor of the Lord by way of healing, inner healing or physical healing, or just even healing of perspective, right? Healing of perspective. How do I experience that in my everyday life? You know, how is it that in my own life, I have a moment to appreciate and to see those areas that are untoward in my life, those areas of sin, you know, that I can then take to the sacrament of reconciliation. That's the call to repentance that comes by way of our Lord's sojourn on earth, his public ministry. In addition to that, how is it that though I cannot see the transfiguration of Christ as the apostles did, the three apostles, but I can in certain ways see the world transfigured by his transfiguration. I can in certain ways apprehend the miracle of that exact moment in sacred scripture. How do I then also enter more deeply into that beautiful holy sacrament that is ours, the sacrament of the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Eucharist? How does that Eucharistic presence of our Lord affect my life? How does that, in a certain sense, bring transfiguration to me? How do I see that operative? So I thought it might be just kind of fun to talk about that today, and I'm eager to hear from you, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. I was telling you, too, about the fact that, you know, the Holy Spirit is the one who illuminates our hearts and our mind. It's the Holy Spirit, the dynamic of the love of the Father for the Son and the Son's love for the Father, this personification of that love, this Spirit of the living God that allows for us to have the wisdom and the insight and the clarity of vision to see the Lord acting in our lives. And this is why this upcoming feast of Pentecost that happens on Sunday is so very, very special and important to us. And I was telling you about the event that's going to take place in Charleroi, Pennsylvania, a one-day Pentecost event that is being sponsored by Women of Grace, St. Andrew the Apostle Catholic Church, and Praise Nation. If you are in that area or can make your way to that area, I'm inviting you to join us there. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful celebration. All of the information is available for you at our website, womenofgrace.com. So get on out there and check it out. So, you know, in all of these ways, we are invited into a deepening expression of the God life in us, right? A deepening giving over to the profound grace that God wants for us to know in him and through him. And so God desires for us to share that with others. And that's why I'm asking you to give us a call here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Jack Williams is call screening today. Be sure to say hello to him. In addition to that, we've got Pedro Quiles out there collecting your questions. Simply go to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page and put in your question or comment. We'll be sure to get it. Well, we've got Steph with us in Southern California today, listening to us via YouTube. Good morning, Steph. How are you?
Hi, fine. Thank you so much. How are you?
I'm well, and thank you for calling in today.
Yes, well, I wanted to share, this is, you had mentioned lots of wonderful concepts. This is a warm fuzzy, but it's like a holy family unity topic. And I just heard it the other day on social media, another platform, of a fun family thing to do. Now, okay. I'm many decades old, and I wish I had done this with my kids. I was always taking them to the library. But this person shared this topic, And I just wanted to share it because it builds family unity.
Yes.
Where you go to the library, it's a family activity. But before you go, you say, oh, we're going to go to the library. But this time what we're going to do is you're going to think of one of your siblings, or it could be mom and dad, and maybe grandma and grandpa goes too. And you say, gosh, what do you know about grandma? Oh, she likes gardening. Well, gosh, maybe you can find a book for grandma. So everybody picks one or two books for the person, like out of the hat before you go. You pick out of the hat like the little piece of paper. So let's say I'm Johnny and I pick out grandma, right?
Yes.
And so then, oh gosh, but you have to talk about a little bit first with the family and say, okay, gosh, grandma likes gardening and oh, she likes to bake. Oh, okay, great. Maybe we'll go to the baking section. So you have to have a little talk before you go, but it builds family unity, consideration, thoughtfulness, and then you have that little activity at the library. Mom kind of watches over, you know, dad too, like make sure the kids are, you know, there and looking for their little books for the person they picked. And then, like, two books, then they check out. And then you get to go, like, into the little park there usually, or maybe go back home and then kind of talk about it. So I thought that was the coolest free activity. You're inside, it's summertime, and you could do it like maybe once a month or something. But I thought, what a great way to build family unity.
Well, Steph, you know, I just love this suggestion for ever so many reasons. First of all, I am a bookworm. I love to read. Spent many happy hours going to the bookmobile when I was a little girl. I lived in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And of course, the Carnegie Library System was started by Andrew Carnegie. And, you know, I didn't live in a community that actually had a physical library. But what the main library in Oakland would do is it would send out bookmobiles. And these were great big buses that were set up like libraries. Instead of windows on the side, they had bookshelves. And I can remember walking there and checking out ever so many books and carrying them home. It was probably about, it was a good mile, maybe a mile and a half to walk to the bookmobile, but it was a pleasant walk. And then I would walk home with them and read them. And I have never, ever forgotten, you know, the smell of the library, the smell of that bookmobile, the smell of those books. And to introduce children to the wonderful world of reading in such a fun way is just a really beautiful family activity. It also teaches them charity, doesn't it? Because it's teaching them to come to know and to love other members of their family and to make selections for them, you know, that individual would like. And then I can imagine that it would be very exciting to see what it was that people picked for you, you know, what did they think about for me, you know, and to help the children to have that sense of family unity, family building in an activity together, getting their noses out of computers and smartphones, and putting them into the context of something that is so tactile and so lovely. So I just think that's a grand idea. I am so glad you shared that today.
Well, you're so welcome. The minute I heard it, I said, oh my gosh, I've got to share it. And for all the families that are listening and, you know, grandmas or, you know, anyone can do this. And I just had to share it with you. So have a wonderful, blessed day. Sending love to EWTN and to all the people there and to all your listeners, too.
Aw, thank you, Steph. Thank you so very, very much. And isn't that a beautiful thing? Because today we're talking about, you know, ordinary life. And here is a beautiful suggestion on how we can make an ordinary activity something very extraordinary, something that's laced with family love and family unity. Just a great idea. I'm going to pass that on to my daughters. And maybe that's an activity that they will enjoy with their children. Thank you, Steph, so very, very much. We are talking about all kinds of things today. This is your day. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we love having that holy conversation. We're going to go to Jean. Jean is in Kent, Ohio, listening to us via Alexa. Good morning to you, Jean. How are you?
Oh, I'm really good. Thank you. How are you?
Very well. Thank you for asking.
You're welcome. The reason that I'm calling today is because of your discussion today about Pentecost Sunday coming up and what that means, you know, as far as our daily life, how we live our life with grace in our life and with other people to bring Jesus to other people.
Yes. Yeah. You know, I once met a man many years ago. I met him in New Orleans. I was speaking at a conference there, and so was he. Very, very lovely man of the Lord. And he said to me, and we were just chit-chatting at one particular moment, and he said to me, you know, Jeanette, he says, what I do every day. And I said, what is that? He said, I figure that every single person that the Lord allows to cross my path is a person that I am meant to evangelize. And he said, so I wake up in the morning all excited to see who it is that the Lord's going to allow to cross my path today. And I thought, isn't that a beautiful way to look at the day, that every single person that we encounter, whether it's through dialogue or not, every single person is meant to receive something from us, something of the life of God from us. So even if we're sitting in traffic, praying for the person that's in the car next to us or the person that's in front of us, being very, aware of the fact that, everything that happens in life has a purpose and has a meaning, because our God is not a capricious God. So there is, I'm supposed to be an influence and an effect for him and for his love in the world today. And so you are so right, Gene, that every day presents us with so many opportunities to enter into that wellspring of the divine life and to share it with others. How do you do that?
Well, how I do that, I moved about a year ago, and little did I know where I was moving, because I had knee surgery and a new knee replacement, and I was on a walker. So I had never been to the place that I was moving to, and I'm here now currently. And I was quite shocked when I got here, but it turns out, after putting on my door outside of my apartment a picture of a nun and some girls that are standing there like in catechism class or something like that,
Yes.
And so anyways, later did I learn from some of the people that live here, they said, who is that woman that moved in here? What is she? and so it's come to be very interesting, because like yesterday, after living here a year and encountering some of the people, I shared the story of the grace that entered me about 2 years ago, about maybe 2.5 years ago. And I called EWTN Radio to share that with you, only I was at the point of tears yet that I couldn't express it. And so I'm calling today to let you know that I was in church, and after Mass, I remember just being real silent. I nothing in particular was different, but Mary and Jesus entered me and gave me the love I never known before, ever.
Gene.
And now it's bringing tears again, because it was so significant, and it did change my life completely.
Oh, Gene, what a beautiful, beautiful grace you received. What a beautiful, beautiful moment in time. I think that the Lord is always looking for ways to enter more deeply into our heart, to enter more deeply into our consciousness, to begin to reveal to us in very subtle ways, as well as sometimes very profound ways, the power and the dynamic of the love that he has for us. And the fact that in this moment for you, it was our Lord and our Blessed Mother, I think is so, so wonderful, because it seems to me that he might well have shown up with his mom, because he was entrusting you to her in a special way, and her to you in a special way. Something like happened at the foot of the cross there for a more intimate relationship with her, because she always points us to her son. That is so beautiful. What would you say would be some of the fruits of that encounter that you've experienced in this past year?
Well, there's been many opportunities to be able to share the story that I have about the grace that came into me. But, for example, yesterday, a lady upstairs and her boyfriend just had a baby, and about 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, and he was just the tiniest little cute darling baby boy. And so I went upstairs to go see the baby and held the baby, and oh, he was just so precious. And so with the mother, I shared with her what happened to me to let her know that Jesus wants her too, you know. And her daughter, who is 10 years old, comes down to visit me about every day, just about every day. And I baptized her about 2 months ago. And actually, it was on her half birthday, so it was February 8th. And she asked to be baptized, 10 years old. And so I said, I can do it right here. I have holy water. And so that's what I did, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
So have you had an opportunity to work with this child, to catechize her, to bring her into a knowledge of the faith?
I'm trying. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to. When she comes over and we cook a little bit together, mm-hmm. and then sit down to eat, we pray, and I do the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and she tries to make the sign of the cross.
Well, that is beautiful, Jean. Just a wonderful way in which God opens our hearts and our minds to the fact that He loves each and every one of us in a unique and special way, and desires that we bring, through our unique and special way of being loved by Him, His love for every individual that we meet. Thank you, Jean, so much for sharing that beautiful experience of faith that you had. We so appreciate it. And friends, we're eager to hear from you too. 833-288-EWTN, or go to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or Facebook page and use the chat feature there. More to come on the other side of the break, inviting you to stay with us.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. We so enjoy spending this time with you Monday through Friday on this same station at this same time. I am eager to hear from you today. Our phone lines are open for you. Let's use them. Jack Williams, my husband, is call screening today. Oh, joy. That's always so much fun. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us here. Also want to remind you that you can contact us by going out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Do know that the chat feature is there for you. Simply put in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. Tell us who you are and where you are. And if you're not listening via social media, tell us how it is that you're listening to us. We are eager to hear from you that way as well. You can also text us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your question or comment. Certainly do let us know who you are. Give us your first name. And do know that message and data rates may apply if you use that option. Hey, I want to send out congratulations today to Father Dominic Marie and Father Miguel Marie. They were ordained on this very day in 2004, 21 years ago. They became priests of the church. So congratulations, and God bless you, Father Dominic and Father Miguel. What a great, great gift they are to us here at EWTN and to the friars in general. Do want to also let you know that if you're listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network, your station needs to hear from you next week. The GRN will be airing their summer share-a-thon starting on Monday. So if you're listening in Texas or Kansas, New Mexico, Alabama, Florida, Virginia, or Washington, D.C., please support your Catholic radio station. I have to tell you, friends, that Catholic radio depends on you. It really does. The men and women who have started these apostolates, these Catholic radio apostolates, in many cases, have sacrificed everything for them. All of the individuals that work there for one reason and one reason only, and that is to bring the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ to you. So please do support your affiliates. Next week, if you're in the Guadalupe Radio Network listening areas in any one of those states, please do support your affiliate. It needs to be a really, really good showing next week. So we're eager for you to be of service to God. Yeah, by being of service to your local affiliate. 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN is the way that you can join us. Before we go to Angela there in Harrisburg, PA, I simply want to let you know that next week is a really big week at Women of Grace. Get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. Go down to the bottom there and click on the tile that says attend an event. We have a morning of grace coming up on June the 10th. We have an evening of grace coming up on June 12th. And we have a Young Women of Grace online event coming up on June the 13th. So get out there, seek it out, join us for one of these events. If you don't know what Women of Grace is all about, well, this is a great way for you to dip your toes into the holy water of Women of Grace and find out a little bit more. I'm not going to go through what they're talking about. You can do that by going out to the website. Now, let's get to Angela. Angela is in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, eager to hear from her. She is listening to us via the EWTN app. Well, hello, Angela. How are you?
Hello. Shannon. I love you. You're amazing.
Well, thank you. I love you right back.
Hey, I have a real quick question before we start this. You were saying you have a program for young girls under for 12 years old and under?
Yes. 12 years old and up. 12 to about 18.
Yeah. Okay. I wanted to find out about that later. But I have a special feeling now towards the prayer of the Our Father because it really changed my life and saved my life. My priest friend was praying next to me. I was in my truck, and he was standing next to the door. We were praying the Our Father, and suddenly when we got to a certain part of the prayer where he says, give us this day our daily bread, I said, Father, I'm having a vision of some sort in front of me. It's Jesus with a platter and fish and loaves in front of my truck. And his hood was down, and I could see his eyes, the light from his eyes, and the platter was rough-hewn. We were both kind of shocked by that. Well, the very next day, I had a very serious car accident. I hit a steel pole at 45 miles an hour. I took the 30-foot pole down, split my truck in half, and I broke over 26 bones.
Oh, dear heavens.
My arm was broken 8 places. My hands were broke. My shoulder was completely gone. The rotator cuff split in half. The neck bones were gone. I had holes in my legs from being burnt from the chemicals. I was able to get out and walk out of the car and get into the ambulance. And when I got to the hospital, they said, you're so bad, we can't do anything for you. We're going to give you some pain meds and send you home because you will die if we do anything to you.
Oh, dear heavens.
So my brother, who was agnostic and had not prayed since I don't know how long, I hadn't seen him in church since, in probably 50 years. He's older than me.
Yes.
We were little kids the last time I saw him. I was like 12 years old, and he was in church the last time. And he said, would you pray with me? And I said, sure. It was dark. It was 11 o'clock at night. I was on my couch. And because I couldn't go to bed, I was so many broken bones. All I could do was sit up, and that's one of the reasons why they couldn't keep me at the hospital. So he started to play some, it was like a chant, Gregorian chant, and then we started to say the Our Father. The lights were out in my living room. When we got to Thy Will Be Done, this was the second time, when we said Thy Will Be Done, praying it together, all of a sudden I saw a pool of yellow light on the floor, and it was like water, but then it went up the back of the wall behind the couch. There was a wall there, and I saw Jesus literally walk by me in his gown, put his hand on my shoulder, and the pain was so excruciating, they gave me fentanyl for the pain. And I felt a healing. And so the next day, my daughter brought me to the surgeon in a wheelchair, and he said, we just took x-rays. He said, I don't know what's going on here, but you know, your rotator cuff is split in half. Your arm is broken 8 places. I stopped counting the breaks in your shoulder. It's like cornflakes. He said, the bones in your neck are gone. He said, but all of a sudden, everything's coming together. what do you want to do? And I said, let's wait. And so we did. And about 3 to 4 weeks later, I was completely healed, except for the hole in my knee, which he had a 4 by 6 inch hole, which suddenly fell out. And they were scared to death. I mean, the doctors were like, oh, my God, what are we going to do? And my daughter, who was a surgical technician, showed me how to fill it with gauze and saline. And we took meds. And that lasted for about 3 months. It was pretty serious.
Goodness sakes, Angela. This is one of the most incredible stories I think I have ever heard. What an amazing testimony to the power of God, his love for us, the way in which he prepares us for that which he will entrust to us. I think that as you were praying the Our Father and you saw our Lord with a platter with the loaves and the fishes there, he was communicating to you that he is your strength, body, blood, soul, and divinity is there for you, that he gives you himself. And he was obviously perhaps even saying that he was going to draw you very deeply into the mystery of his own suffering. You know, the fact that there was this healing, this beautiful, beautiful healing that you received, this tremendous grace, inexplicable, is a testimony to the fact that God is always with us. And people often say, well, gee, that's lovely that that happened for Angela. Why doesn't that happen for me? Or why didn't that happen for my loved one? And I think that in a certain way, individuals that are chosen by God to receive these great graces are signs. They're signs. They're a testimony to the reality of the power of God, and also to the fact that all of us will be given a cross to carry that will be particular to ourselves, but that we are not abandoned in the midst of that cross, and that God will use that cross as a means of healing for us, whether it's the physical healing of the suffering itself, or whether it's an emotional healing or a spiritual healing. Look at the fruit that was born by way of this suffering for you in the life of your brother who had been estranged from the church. You know, God's ways are not our ways. We don't understand them. But one thing I do know is this, is that through the passion and death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, suffering has been redeemed. It takes on a new value. It makes it something that is a conduit of God's own life entering into our life that can be used for such tremendous, tremendous healing and tremendous good. I want to thank you so very much, and I'm glad that, you know, in a certain way, isn't it beautiful that the beginning of this all started with the Our Father, the very prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us, the very prayer that is heaven's own prayer, that Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, we might even say in earth, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us exactly what it is that we need. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. And he did. He delivered you from evil. And he will do that for each and every one of us. And sometimes that only comes by way of experiencing the cross in our lives. I'm so delighted. Thank you, Angela, for sharing this remarkable story with us today. I feel blessed by it. And I do just want to let you know that there in the Harrisburg area, we have a very active regional coordinator for Women of Grace. Her name is Christine Arnold. And Christine will tell you all about our young women of grace, but you can call us too at the ministry. We can put you in touch with her. We'll tell you about our young women of grace opportunity. We would love for you to be involved with us. God bless you, Angela, and thank you once again for sharing this most remarkable story. What a grace, what a privilege to speak with you. It's amazing how God shows up in very extraordinary moments as well as the ordinary ones. We have Marilyn with us. Marilyn is there in Houston, Texas. Looking forward to talking with Marilyn. She is listening to us via GRN. Oh, yes, she is right there in Houston. Hey, Marilyn, how are you?
Hi, blessings, Jeanette. I would like to ask you for some clarification on the situation as we laypersons are allowed to baptize. Of course, in the formula, in the name of God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, as laypersons, what is it that we, what situations would allow us to baptize versus an ordained priest or a ordained a deacon of the Catholic Church?
Yeah, thank you very much, Marilyn. This is a very good question. Of course, this stems from our very first caller sharing with us about her baptizing the little girl that lived upstairs from her there. And what we do know is that we, by way of our own baptism, are able to offer, we are able to baptize others. And it's generally speaking, and what the church teaches us, is in an emergency situation when someone is in imminent danger of death and a priest or a deacon is not available. So that is the way in which the church permits a layperson to enter into the administering of that particular sacrament. The baptism is considered valid and sufficient, provided that the correct form and intention is present. And of course, we know that the correct form involves the pouring of water over the person's head three times while saying the words, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So we have to have the right intention too, and that means that the whole purpose for doing this is to bring someone into the Catholic faith and to fulfill the Church's mission of salvation. In an imminent situation, such as the Church permits lay people to baptize, then obviously the hope is that this person will enter into eternal life. So we have to look at that and know that that is the time that we can baptize. You know, as far as the situation that we heard about today, I would suggest that the individual probably contact her parish priest and explain the circumstance to him. But it's not an action that we enter into lightly. And of course, whenever there is a deacon or a priest that is nearby, obviously, that is what we do. And we take that person who wishes to be baptized to the church and have the priest or the deacon do the baptizing. In addition to that, too, in that situation, it would have been good to have perhaps spoken with the parents because the obligation now is to raise that child in the faith. So that is what I would say to that. Does that help you?
Yes, thank you very much. I was also told that it's with the parents' consent, as you say, because this way they would raise them in the faith. And only under circumstances closest to death. But you have clarified most of it. And to speak with a priest, to let them give their... I know that when we're baptized in the church, we can call later in life and they tell you to go. If you're going to marry them, your sacramental marriage, you have to present your baptism, your communion and confirmation, all your sacraments in order to even be ordained a priest or right. Also be receive your sacrament of marriage.
Right.
So I know it's beautiful that the Catholic Church lets us call and say, okay, I don't remember where I was baptized. I was a baby. Then they say, no, you were baptized at, you know, Our Lady of Perpetual Help. And they have everything there, the date, the priest or the deacon and your godparents. And it's just so beautiful to reflect over those beautiful documents, knowing that they are so important. And I'm sure they're written in heaven, of course, but it's so nice that you can do that and that our church keeps official records of everything.
Yes, absolutely, Marilyn. And again, I think it's very important for us to understand that to baptize someone, you know, as a lay person is something that's done when there is imminent danger. So, for example, if you know, we see someone who's been in an accident, we just had a woman, Angela, that called in and told us about a horrific accident that she was in the providence of God through the midst of that whole thing. But if we would happen upon something like that and the person would, you know, want to be baptized, we would have the capacity capacity to do that, but we ought not to take that upon ourselves to do just in a capricious way. And I'm glad that you mentioned the documents that we receive for that. In many cases, a baptismal certificate will stand as evidence of the same kind of evidence as a birth certificate in many situations. So they're very important documents to have. And I know of individuals who frame their children's baptismal certificates and hang them on the wall because that, in a certain way, is their real birth, right? It's their birth into Christ Jesus. So it's just as important as their birth certificate from the state. But thank you so much for your call. And remember, you are listening to us there in Houston via Guadalupe Radio Network. And next week begins a very important time for them. So support your station there, Marilyn. Thank you so much for your call today. Sure do appreciate it. And thank you for the opportunity to clarify. 833-288-EWTN. We've got a few minutes left. We can take a call. We do have a text from Robert out there in social media land. He says, do rosaries count if I'm not in a state of grace? So I guess the question is, if we're not in a state of grace, and here I'm guessing, Robert, you're talking about the fact that you might be in the state of mortal sin. Remember that venial sin does not rob us of sanctifying grace. It wounds us in some way. It diminishes us, but it does not deal death to our soul. A mortal sin, on the other hand, does. A mortal sin cuts us off from relationship with God. So I'm taking your question when you say that you're not in a state of grace to mean that it is the latter case rather than the former case. So what about praying when you're in mortal sin? Does God hear our prayer? Well, I would say yes, God hears every prayer. God is not unaware of our prayer. The fact that we sin cuts us off from God, but it doesn't cut God off from us. What do I mean by that? It means that our ability to access the graces of God are rendered null and void. However, that being said, God is still present for us, and He is there. And oftentimes, in tremendous ways, God will call us out of the misery of our mortal sin and bring us into a moment where He, through the operation of the Holy Spirit, gives us an illumination of soul that makes us aware of the sin that we're in and the devastation of that sin as a means to encourage us to take care of it. And the way in which we take care of it is by going to the sacrament of reconciliation. So if you know that you're not in the state of grace and you're worried about your rosary counting, I would say to you, man, dash off to the sacrament of reconciliation and get yourself straightened up here. You know, get yourself back in relationship with the Lord. Your rosary is not, how do I want to phrase this? I don't know what the efficacy of your rosary prayer is. Does God know you're praying? Yes. Is it efficacious? Well, that I don't know. I can't really answer. In other words, to what extent does it bear fruit? That I can't answer. Because I don't know that the conduit by which the benefit is received from the rosary is open, since you've cut yourself off from relationship with God. So the fact that you're praying the rosary is encouraging to me. It means that you want relationship with God, or else you wouldn't be praying the rosary. So I want to encourage you to do what is necessary and go to the sacrament of reconciliation. Remember one thing, Robert, there is no sin that is greater than God's mercy. What keeps us away from the sacrament? What keeps us away? Generally speaking, two things. Shame. Shame. We're ashamed to admit the sin. Shame keeps us away. And what is that shame rooted in? It's rooted in pride. So we could say it's a lack of humility, ultimately, that keeps us away from the sacrament. Second thing, perhaps we once had a bad experience in the sacrament and we're afraid. Fear. Fear is the other thing that keeps us away. Well, I want to tell you what, we have no reason to fear. God has given us the sacrament for us to use the sacrament. He's given us the sacrament because He wants to bestow upon us His forgiveness. He wants us to be returned to right relationship with Him. He wants for us to experience His mercy. He wants for us to move in that mercy. He wants for that mercy to move in us. The evil one will use false evidence appearing real, that kind of fear, to keep us away from the sacrament. The fear that God wants us to have is a holy awe of Him. The fear of His love the awesomeness of his love. And that's what he wants you to know, Robert. So dash on off. Call today. Call the parish. See if you can set up a private appointment with the priest and go to the sacrament. What grace is waiting for you. What profound holy hope is available to you. What a weight will be lifted off to you, off of you. And so there you have it. Well, friends, it's been great being with you today. I'm sorry, you're all calling in now. Now we can't get to you because we're at the end of the program. But all of that being said, we'll be back with you again. Thank you for listening. Get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. Check out all of the good things that are happening at Women of Grace. God bless you now. Bye-bye.